All right. What were some of the like grossest things that you could put in a milkshake? Yes, Bryce.
Rotten milk.
Rotten milk. Just start off with rotten milk. Yes. Pickles. Ugh. Yes. What? Hot sauce. Ugh. Yeah. It's so gross. Yeah. Cheese. I think cheese would be great. You know why I think cheese would be great? Because one of my favorite milkshakes is cheesecake. I love cheesecake milkshakes, so I think cheese would be just fine. Maybe not like a sharp cheese. Yeah, Jaden. Okay, let's keep it edible, right? Okay, yeah, great. Yeah. What's that? Olives. I hate olives. My wife, Brooke, loves olives, and I don't know why. Yeah. Sardines. Yes. Jason. Anchovies. Yeah, anything that's like a little fish that's mostly bone is disgusting to eat, okay? Like, anytime that's the fact, it's just going to be gross. Okay, that's enough. Okay, there are tons of things that we could put into a milkshake to completely ruin it, right? There are tons of things that we could put in a milkshake that would just make it completely and totally awful, right, Alex? Fellas? Yeah, we could put a ton of things in milkshakes and make them just really, really gross. Now, today, we're going to be talking about kind of our last Sunday of this series called Out of This World. And in Out of This World, we've been talking about how does God call us to live differently than people who just live in this world, okay? How does God call us to live for Him while we live in this world, to have this dual citizenship idea? And today, we're going to be talking about another idea that focuses on that, and that idea is what goes into our body results in things that go out. Okay, what we put into our bodies results in things that go out. Just like what you put in a milkshake results in its flavor or how good it is. Can we turn the music off? I hear it playing in the back. Sorry. Awesome, no worries. Sorry, it's like distracting me. I have like really distraction stuff. I just squirrel. Oh my gosh. And so that's part of it. So anyways, what we put in results in what goes out. Okay, now that's a grand example, milkshake. Yeah, you put anchovies in a milkshake, it's going to make it disgusting. But what does that look like for us? Let me give you guys an example of this, okay? I remember when I was in middle school, I went into middle school and I didn't have much perception of like guys and girls and dating and what that all looks like and kind of the norms and what's normal with that. But I remember distinctly in seventh grade, I started hanging out with kind of this new group of friends, and I told you guys kind of my experience of moving to sixth grade and finding new friends and kind of the weirdness of that a couple weeks ago. But in seventh grade, I kind of started to settle down with this group of friends, and there were a couple guys in this group of friends who kept making remarks in different classes, if it was like math or whatever, whenever we were hanging out, if it was before school, during lunch, whatever. They would always make remarks like, "Hey, man, you know, look at that girl. Isn't she, like, really hot? Like, she's so cool, man. Like, you should totally ask her out, and this is what you should do." And at first, I didn't pay much attention to it. At first, I didn't think much about it. At first, I was like, no, I don't think I was taught to, like, view women that way. And so I'm not going to really, I'm just going to brush that off. I'm just going to ignore that you said that. And that kind of kept going for a couple years. And what I found happen within myself was really interesting. It wasn't that I woke up one morning and I started to be just like them. It wasn't that I just, you know, like, all of a sudden, boom. Like, I just started, like, looking at women really demeaningly and kind of making them objects that, like, you know, I get what I want. And so, oh, no worries, fix it. They got, like, a little patch of tape on here. I love this. So it wasn't that just suddenly happened. It was more so a slow drip that I found myself in ninth grade, 2 years later, after hanging out with this group of friends, in a place that I would never wish for anyone to be in. I found myself in a place where, you know, I had a girlfriend at the time, and I viewed our relationship not as something that God had given us. I viewed our relationship as something that, you know, I just wanted it to be there, and I get what I want out of this, and it was all selfish. It was all for me. There was no selflessness in that relationship. And it was a slow drip in my life of the influences that were around me, my friends, the people who I was hanging out with at that time, that slowly changed my perception of women. And the next few years as I went through high school, I had to reteach myself that women are God's daughters and that I need to respect them. And that I am God's son, and out of that, I deserve respect as well. And what does that look like? And I had to reteach myself that because of the things that I was letting influence me change my perceptions and how I acted and responded in the world. A few other examples that kind of reflect this that you guys might be kind of experiencing and not realizing that this is changing you, but it is. One might be violence and video games nowadays. I saw like a 10-second clip the other day of what graphics are going to look like in 2025. And there was like a bunch of cool guns and everything. And they were like running around shooting people. But there was like blood every place, right? Like, and it was like really realistic about like how that worked. Like it looked like people were literally dying. And just the desensitizing that we have come to with violence through video games, right? That's an example of something that we're putting into our bodies that we don't even realize is changing who we are. Another one might be cussing. Another example might be anger. When you're around angry people and you begin to accept that getting up in someone's face and yelling at them because they beat you in a game or something is okay. When did we come to think that, right? It's these examples of what we put in our bodies results in what we do, right? And so if that's the truth, I want to introduce an idea today, and I'm going to give you guys a few minutes to talk in your groups before we dig into Scripture. I want to introduce an idea today. If what we put in our mind and what we put in our heart affects how we act, then we really need to be careful with what we put in our mind and what we put in our heart, okay? If what we put in our mind and what we put in our heart affects how we act in a major way, maybe not like instantly, like, boom, here it is, I'm completely different because I saw this or I did this or I heard this. But if it's a slow drip, then we really need to monitor carefully what we put in our minds and what we put in our hearts. Now, what I want you guys to do in your groups, I'm going to give you guys 7 minutes to jump through the first two questions, okay? The first two questions that you have for your group time. Then we're going to come back and look at God's word about this. Go ahead and go. Footballs. All right, we'll give you 30 more seconds here. All right. We're going to go ahead and get it back together. I want you guys to turn to Philippians. Philippians, which is the book that we've been in for the past 2 to 3 weeks. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Starting at verse 8, and we'll go over to verse 9. This is towards the end of that book. Sweet. Chapter 4, verse 8. All right, Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 8. I'm going to go ahead and start reading for us if you're still flipping there. Keep on going. It says this, check this out. Finally, brothers or sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, here's the thing. We talked about kind of controlling some of the bad things that we let go into our hearts and into our minds and how that can affect us and, you know, maybe needing to filter those things. And so you guys were talking within your groups about those things. But we can make a conscious choice every day we wake up and we're following God. We can make a conscious choice to not put necessarily, not just to filter like bad things that we're seeing or hearing or putting into our minds, but to accept and look to put good things into our minds. Okay, so not only is it like guarding from the negative, we can make a decision here, and Paul is saying we can make a decision to look around and to put positive things into our mind. Not just to guard from the negative, but to choose to put positive things into our minds. And the world will say to you guys, and we've talked about out of this world living, and the world will continue to say to you guys, do what you want. Do whatever you want. Who cares? Who cares what you think? Who cares who you are? Who cares? But God cares, and God demonstrates that here. God cares about what you put in your mind. He says it's a big deal. He says, look to put the true, the noble, the right, the pure, the lovely, the admirable thoughts into your mind, and to do things that are praiseworthy, okay? That's what God wants us to do. The world says do what you want, and the out-of-this-world thinking is saying control your thoughts. I want you guys, there's a couple markers, I hope, that are still on your guys' areas that are in your, kind of on the tables or something. If you guys need one, here you go. What I want you guys to do is I want you to write one word on your hands today. It's two letters. I want you to write go on your hand, okay? Two big capital letters, go. Just like that. If you're right-handed, you can write it on your left. If you're left-handed, you can write it on your right. I want you guys to write go on the back of your hands. You can pass the marker around. What this stands for. This is a, what is that called? Like an acronym or whatever? Or something? Where the letters stand for something. The two letters here stand for these things. The G stands for gratitude. The G in go, I want you to remember this week, stands for gratitude. I want you to think thoughts of gratitude this week. As you guys go out and you're looking at negative thoughts or things that could hurt you, things that could be bad against you, sure, guard against those. But in a positive effort to take a step in the other direction, I want you to take thoughts about gratitude and to think those thoughts. Now, what does that look like? What does a thought of gratitude look like? Does anyone know what a thought of gratitude might look like? What does a thought of gratitude might look like? What does that look like? Yeah. Great. Thanking your parents for getting groceries instead of when your parents get home from the grocery store and being like, yes, my favorite chips in the world, vinegar and salt, tearing them open, like shoving them down your throat. Stopping and saying, wow, someone had to take their time and their money and to go do that, like, so I could survive. Wow, that's really cool of them to do that. That's stopping and thinking a thought of gratitude. Does anyone else have one other example of what a thought of gratitude might look like? What a thought of gratitude might look like. Does anyone have a good example? Maybe a seventh grade boy? Oh, yes, Adam, what does a thought of gratitude look like?
So when I first moved here from Chicago, come like this time in November, I'd watch a football game on TV. And
yes.
I'd see people in the stands breathe, like you could see their breath and wearing like thick winter coats. And I remember being so thankful that I lived someplace that like it was still comfortable to go outside and to enjoy the outside weather.
Yeah.
That
is a thought of gratitude that you are here enjoying this warm weather. Now, that's a great transition because that was a great thought of gratitude, but the O in go stands for others. The O in go stands for others, which is to have thoughts to serve others, to have thoughts about how you can put others first, which we talked a little bit about last week. And so Adam's example is great. Yes, it is very grateful for him, but it's not so much thinking about others first, right? Or how is that helpful for others? And so the O is thinking of thoughts of how to put others first, okay? And what I want you guys to do is to jump back into your groups. You can keep going on these questions, but I want you to think about this question. What thoughts am I putting in my mind that might be fueling unhealthy attitudes and actions? What thoughts are you guys putting in your minds that might be fueling unhealthy attitudes or actions? Okay, I want you to think about that question and jump into the rest of the questions in your groups. Right? Meow. Go for it.